Blog Talk Radio. welcome to the Solace of Shadows. This is your host, Robert M. I am accompanied, as usual, by my lovely co-host, Mrs. Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Robert. And how are you this fine, dark evening?
Well, I'm here. I'll just say that.
I
wanted to write I was really trying to write a poem for my own topic, but life has been chaos lately, so I haven't really been able to, so we're going to have to settle for everyone else's, well, not settle, but we're going to have to be entranced by everyone else's work. I want to say that, in any case.
But I get it. I mean, it's an absolutely amazing topic. I was pleasantly surprised because a lot of times song prompts don't do real well. From my personal experience of several hundred contests and helping with contests, I've noticed, song prompts don't always do that well. But this one, people really gravitated towards it. It's like so many people really related to the lyrics and the rhythm and theme.
Yeah, it's one of those very, it's like one of those crazy gems that you find, because I stumbled across it by accident, because I just go and listen to random stuff sometimes, and I was like, wow, this is something else. So I figured it had that dark undertone to it, and yet very nature-y, and a lot of people are into that type of stuff, so, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely great choice. And if you couldn't tell by that deep laugh, we have Lawrence with us. So welcome, Lawrence. Glad you could join us.
Wait. Thank you for sending me that little message with the contest, because when I heard the music, it was a hypnotic rhythm that made me want to join in. I said, I've got to join in.
And I don't private message you a lot with contest links, because I see you're either going to notice them or you're not, depending on how life is going for you. But that one, it popped into my head. This is something I have to make sure
you want to see. Right, your instincts are just fine, Ben. Keep going.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to also say, and I'd like to welcome Randy to the show. Welcome, Randy. Glad you could join us.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Excuse me. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Randy.
So I was going to say, based on Lawrence's comment earlier, I should just start referring to him as Wolf Totem from now on. But,
there you go.
I plan on doing a show based on those. And there's this really cool song that I think that people will be into as well. So, yeah, anyways, I guess we should get started with this show. And where should we head to, Pam?
Well, Randy, I know for later shows you can't stick around for too long, so I've gone ahead and put up your poem. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay, and mine was done off prompt number one, and I tried to write it in the same way that the lyrics were written in the song, in the same style. And the poem is Dim Bones. While the departed all lie here now beneath the headstones planted by the living, like an evil fruit in this garden of bones, trying to silence voices with 6 feet of dirt. But they still hear moans, their souls crying out from nightmares in answer to their plight. Each one an eternal restless soul, forgotten and buried under a heap. They now have nothing but time, laid to rest, refusing to sleep. Mysteriously, they haunt the living. Into their thoughts they do creep and make their lives a living hell. This dark victory smells so sweet. The dead deal with being dishonored, knowing they will never be avenged. So they stalk the living in their minds, knowing reminders are their revenge. End poem.
Ah, very nice indeed. I can always appreciate a good spiritual vengeance poem, and you did this great justice catering to the cadence of it, of the song itself, and also your rhyme was great, like throughout, like the moans and bones and headstones, and you did a great job there, and then with the couplet rhyming as well. Also, the subject matter was right on point with the prompt too. So, and I like the title too, "Them Bones." The fact that the living just, you know, literally walk all over the dead, a lot of times a lot of customs are cast to the side and they're just dishonored, so to speak, and. Some people say, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts, but, you know, it makes sense that spirits do exist. I can say that. And the fact that you gave the spirit a reckoning of sorts, whether it be tedious ramblings or stalking of the mind, I think that's that's pretty awesome. What are your thoughts, Laurent?
While the departed all lie here now beneath the headstones, planted by the living like an evil fruit in this garden of bones. I thought that was a great intro with stellar rhyme. And throughout, you apply a dark pen to the unavenged dead. You measure the revenge in your words. Powerful and well written.
Thank you, Laurent.
You're welcome.
Very comment there. How about you, Pam? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this one. Like you, Robert, I really like that title, Dem Bones. Randy, I think it was a wonderful choice to kind of copy the style of the song lyrics, because it added a nice rhythm to your poem. I really like how, as Robert referred to it, there's an idea of the spiritual vengeance that comes through in this. I like how it's about darkness and yet it's about, you know, a certain light that comes through too. I really like their souls crying out from nightmares in answer to their plight. Each one an eternal restless soul forgotten and buried under a heap. They now have nothing but time laid to rest but refusing to sleep. Wonderful dark lines and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you, Robert.
Yep, no problem. I'm glad you were inspired and that you decided to call in. Are you going to be with us, Randy, or you got to take off?
I'll have to take off here pretty quick, but I'll hang as long as I can.
All right, then. Where are we going to next, Miss Pam?
All right. Well, let's see here. Let me go ahead and grab the next one. And sorry, should we be a little on the ball? All right. And all right, Laurent, I've gone ahead and put up your poem. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please. Are you on mute, Laurent?
And you know what? I've been testing it, and it works just fine. Yeah, thank you. I was going to write the same prompt that Randy wrote so well to, but there was something about that second one that really grabbed me. And I tried to find something that throws just a tiny bit of light into the dark. This is called First Blood. Came the call through dark woods. Thunder finding its voice on earth. Ponderous tread, deadly harbinger, strides tallest of all, widest of girth. He of the hammer hand, giant barrow sleeper emerges. Know our battle eagerness, as within our hot blood surges. One among us chosen to fight, his fate rests upon his sword. not our best, nor our least. Lots were chosen, none demurred. Circle of combat forms, weapons ready, raised. Low death chant begins, ancient gods be praised. Aiden leaps and spins, Fallon shouted loud, no timid coward he, fearless spirit, never cowed. First blood, a cut above the giant's brow. Second cut slices deeper, for revenge, Aiden vows. Blind eyes in a sea of red, enemy swings and roars. His blow beats at empty air, voices shout, hunting scores. Round and round he spins, his club uproots small trees. Lunge, a stab, his vitals pierce, Aiden has performed the deed. We roll the body into fire, flames leap and eat his meat. As smoke, the giant rises up, light as air in his defeat. Not our best, nor our least, our warriors have no peer. Who draws the shortest stick rejoices, tribe's revenge is ever near. End poem.
Wow, that was a great little story there. And also the way that that you presented it, like your rhyme was awesome throughout, obviously, because you know you're Laurent. But the subject matter, like the actual story of the giant and the fighting and the tribal nature of it, really resonates with the lyrics, you know. And you could just see everything happening. It was like a movie unfolding in my head. I thought that was fantastic the way that you were able to encapsulate and capture the whole essence of the song and yet make it your own in doing so. And weaving a nice little tale through poetry. So, wow. Yeah. And then your recital of it lends credence to it as well because, you know, you have a great reading voice as well as of the ability to, what's the word I'm thinking of? Accentuate? No. Well, I guess I'll go with accentuate the feelings and the lines, the points you're trying to make, you make it, put it that way. And I really liked it a lot, and I'm glad that you were inspired. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're very welcome. What did you think, Randy?
Yes, I agree with everything you said there, and I love the storyline all the way through. It was a great write and a wonderful read. There were several stanzas that stood out to me just for no particular reason that they'd be better than any other, but I liked one among us chosen to fight, his fate rest upon his sword, not our best, nor at least, us were chosen, none ignored. I love that angle, and I really like the next to last dance as well. They roll the body into fire, flames leap, and he is me. As smoke, the giant rises up, light as air in his defeat. There was just something about that that really grabbed me. I loved the whole poem, and I thought it was wonderfully detailed.
Thank you so much, Randy.
Yeah, there it was. I even like the title too, First Blood, and it goes with the you mentioned it in there. Pam, what about you? What were your thoughts?
This is amazing. It's an epic write with spot on rhyme. Casey Day said in Late Night Poets that she wants this poem to be made into a movie, and I have to agree with her. You know, it does have that wonderful feel to it, that just epic. I really like the imagery all the way through, the dark tale of war and blood spilled and revenge. Even the small details, like the main character's name is Aiden, which is an Irish Celtic name, which fits really well with the music. I also really like how in the second stanza, you say, he of the hammer hand, giant barrel, sleeper emerges, no our battle's eagerness as within our hot blood surges. Because there are lands where that have myths of sleeping giants. And in fact, oftentimes hills are explained as being created through the myth of a sleeping giant. So I like that you brought that detail in there. And I also really like blind eyes in a sea of red, enemy swings and roars, his blow beats at empty air, voices shout, counting scores. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, I was really, thank you, Pam. I was really pulled to that word barrow because I recall the Barrow Downs from Lord of the Rings, or was it The Hobbit? I'm not sure. Perhaps The Hobbit. The Barrow Downs are an evil, evil thing. That's where he discovered, that's where Frodo discovered Sting. So once I saw the word barrow, I had to go with it.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm glad that even this one word can be an inspiration sometimes. So that's good. Where are we off to next, Miss Pam?
All right. Up next, we have A Deafening Silence by Poetic Creations. And Robert, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
I'll try. A deafening silence, grieving and hurting, haunted by memories before the pieces of pieces broke, shattered on the shores of unforsaken love, broken like waves in a green bay, anchor fixed in the bones of every yesterday, for now. The rusty iron chains hold. The fallen rest beside the fallen that yet wail, but their breath is now our breath. Their nightmares are our nightmares as well. Yet let not this tarnish forever stain the fabric of what is with another mosaic pin that risks compromising the tang. Least you be forsaken with much bloodshed, as broken bits are further scarred with an unjust dignity of not being someone who has earned peace or respect. And poem. Wow. That's a very interesting piece indeed by Poetic Creations. I'm glad that they got inspired too. Well, all these people coming out, and this is awesome. So, Lauren, what are your thoughts on it?
Amazing how read a little letters. Wow, this is actually the only thing that jumps into one's head. The use of the anchor I found so well accomplished. Anchor fixed in the bones of every yesterday. For now, the rusty iron chains hold. The fallen rests beside the fallen. They yet wail. Their breath is now our breath. The poem speaks to heartbreak, speaks to an unforsaken love. It speaks to being broken, not just broken, but pieces of pieces broken, and then scarred with an unjust dignity of not being someone who has earned peace or respect. That kind of took my breath away, that last bit. Just a very well realized piece.
Yeah, it's that. It's kind of like being adding insult to injury, so to speak. You know, to where it's like you're just at the vestige of even existence or of any kind. Like you just beyond disrespect, beyond hatred, beyond lonely. I really appreciated all the emotion that was in this, and yet. The anhedonic feature to it as well, to where, you know, there's also like an emptiness of sorts because all of this has been taken away. And there's so much that was lost that there's hardly anything left. And they did a great job, Poetic Creations did, in instilling that feeling. Yeah. What were your thoughts, Pam?
Yeah, this definitely has a strong emotional impact. I like how the title is a juxtaposition, a deafening silence, how oftentimes silence speaks louder than words. There was to this one, I have to say, in my thoughts, more of a sadness than the other one. And I like how it can be representation of an individual sadness or the sadness of a community, of a group. I think it's a great reflection on the prompt. I really like their nightmares are our nightmares as well, yet let not this tarnish forever stain the fabric of what is with another mosaic pin that risks compromising the tang. At least you be forsaken with much bloodshed. I like how that speaks on the idea of the connection, of the idea of those who have died before us. We have that connection with them. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so where are we off to next, Ms. Pam?
All right. I do have to say that I read through all the poems earlier today, and we are definitely in for a great lineup of poetry tonight. And with that being said, I have up Smoke Ring Daydreams by Casey Day, and it goes like this. You are taught to talk small and to hum to another's tune, but you are born to stand tall and walk across the moon. You're living in a dying world, searching for the heartbeat. That's why sometimes the air's so heavy that it hurts to breathe. And I know if only you could shut it out, you'd hear me whispering, you were meant for so much more than smoke ring daydreams and poem.
This was, like she said, it was simple, but there is a lot to this poem, just in the six lines. I noticed Casey tends to, from what I've seen, she tends to do a lot of brevity, or at least on the shows that I've seen. But I know she can go deeper into it if she really wanted to. But here, I like the you're a living in a dying world, searching for the heartbeat. That's why sometimes the air is so heavy that it hurts to breathe. Because for me, it seems as though like that feeling of not belonging, and I feel that a lot. Like, you know, like I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be here. I feel very alien and foreign to everything around. And the air is so heavy that it hurts to breathe. It makes me think of, you know, it's kind of a tangent of sorts, but it makes me think of deforestation and what we're doing to each other and the planet and everything, you know, all the stuff that's going on, you know, and you're just feeling so lost in the world. And even it makes it hard to breathe, like, in more ways than one, you know. And I also like the ending. And if only you could shut it out, you'd hear me whispering, you are meant for so much more than smoke ring daydreams. And, you know, smoke ring daydreams kind of makes me think of a person who's just sitting there blowing smoke, smoking a cigarette or whatever, and just blowing those little rings, contemplating, kind of commiserating in their own little world. And I really like the imagery here. So, yeah, thanks for that, Casey. Lauren, what were your thoughts?
I really like your interpretation of this piece when you said you felt alien, out of place, uncomfortable in your own skin, as it were. And sometimes I have to believe when that occurs, and this is kind of reinforced in the poem, especially when he says you're living in a dying world, searching for the heartbeat, basically the stanza that you quoted. There's this part of your soul that has lived another life in another place, and it yearns for that place. As far as the poem is concerned, we're taught to talk small and hum to another's tune. You're born to stand tall and walk across the moon. I love the opposites voice in the land in those lines. The talk small and the stand tall, from the prosaic to the impossible. The perfect little piece. I'd be proud if I had written it.
Indeed. It's tough for me as well to make something as impactful in so few lines. What about you, Pam? What do you think?
You know, Casey really has a gift for, really has a gift for writing powerful brevities that say a lot. And I like what you both had to say. And I can definitely see that idea of not fitting in. I also see an idea of someone encouraging somebody and saying, you know, there's a reason that you don't fit in. You're meant for better things. I really like how there's a sadness to this, and yet there's also a sense of hope in it, in the sense of encouragement. It particularly hits hard in that middle stanza. You're living in a dying world, searching for the heartbeat. That's why sometimes the air's so heavy that it hurts to breathe. You know, it's difficult to be the person who has hope that a dying world still has a heartbeat and goes on searching for it. Excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I'm glad that she was inspired. Glad all these people were inspired. I like you, Pam. I was surprised at the turnout, but I am not disappointed. So we're starting off pretty strong here. So where are we headed to next?
All right. Up next we have Field of Blood and Bone, Modern Sonnet by After the Fire. And Laurent, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
All right. Field of Blood and Bone. Here once stood men among the grass and stones, these warriors who battled to the death. This meadow, fertilized by blood and bones, is where so many drew their final breath. These men believed Valhalla was their fate. Their swords and shields lay bloody from the fight. This field is where their games all reached checkmate. But they did not go gently in the night. The ghosts of some who died still linger here, awaiting Odin's ravens from beyond. Some say at night their spirits will appear, these specters who made battle cries their bond. I'm proud to stand upon this field alone, among the souls that shed their blood and bone. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. And yeah, this is another brilliant piece and paying homage or homage, however people want to say it, to the dead. And that's kind of what the song encapsulates, you know, like it's that respect, you know, of having that respect for those who came before you and reveling in their memory, you know. And even today, like there's stories that have been passed down from generation to generation of the forefathers and things and the ancestors and whatnot, the fights that they had to go through, and this kind of like gives a credence to that, to where it looks like these men believed Valhalla was their fate. Their swords and shields lay bloody from the fight. This field is where their games all reach checkmate, but they did not go gently in the night, you know, kind of just setting up that environment so you can see the battle going down. And then this person, I'm proud to stand upon this field alone amongst the souls that shed their blood and bone, you know, that's a really good ending, to kind of wrap it all up, and the epicness of it. So I thought it was a great piece. What about you, Pam? What do you think?
Yeah, this is another great piece. Epic, works so well with the song. Of course, even if he hadn't put in the AN, I would have recognized the nod to Dylan Thomas with They Do Not Go Gently. I thought that was a nice, clever fit in there that worked well. I also like that this is another one with powerful imagery throughout. And what's interesting about this one, I thought was a great choice. First of all, the modern sonnet form worked really well. But I like how he goes from it, the start of the most of the poem with the mention of these men believed Valhalla was their fate, their sword and shield lay bloody from the fight, and awaiting Odin's ravens from beyond. And it feels very much, and it obviously looks very much like it belongs in that time period of the ancient Norse warriors. But then when it says, I'm proud to stand upon this field alone among the souls that shed their blood and bone, although it could still connect to ancient Norse times, I almost feel like those lines bring it into the idea of a modern-day warrior, a modern-day soldier that connects with the warriors of the past. Just amazing, dark, visceral imagery that does honor the dead and the sacrifices they made. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Pam. I was thinking it was kind of like a modern times to where someone's going to appreciate the graves of their ancestors or something. That's kind of what I got out of it. But it could be either way. But what about you, Laurent? Having read it wonderfully, what do you think?
Many of us have had occasion to visit places in history where great sacrifices were made, where great tragedies occurred. And I think you see some of that in the opening lines when he says, these warriors, and in the second stanza, these men, this field. He's very definite about the place. And it is that feeling of hallowed ground that is shared with other places in history that we may visit. He mentions Valhalla and Odin's ravens, and that's in keeping with the prompt and the topic. But this has the flavor of a Civil War piece. Here once stood men among the grass and stones, these warriors who battled to the death. I don't know why, it just reminded me of that. And I just thought that the general tone and imagery made this a splendid.
Yeah, it fit the prompt very well. This is going to be a hard contest to judge, I think. I thank you for that Awakened Fire, and I'm glad that you were inspired to write for us. Oh, I'm sorry, After the Fire. I said Awakened Fire. Sorry, that's a name of something in the game that I've been playing. Thanks for writing for the contest. And yeah, glad that you were inspired. Where are we off to next, Miss Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Of Forgotten Bones and Growing Gray Tombs by Blue Right 76. And go ahead, Robert, and give that a read for us, please.
I'll try. All right. A Forgotten Bones and Growing Gray Tombs. Round the days waited he, guarding their gates awake, his turn to hope and die again, a 30 of them bones buried. Bones even before the sand fell, empty guts with bones and souls, piled up like stone and gravel. They await a century now and more, no one to claim their life and death. Those that fed millions afar and near, took the word of friends and lords, forced to cull food crops and dreams, raise the indigos and cottons. Their divine sands they plowed that brought paper and coins to barter for porridge and peas. When gods angry with greedy men, waters and winds left them alone, came the devils and danced on the fields, dry and arid, more as famine struck. Friends and lords turned away for feeding those who fight wars. They took the peas and porridge. Those who fed, they forgot. As rice bags fell empty in number, skins hung and bones thinned, fell upon the fields like seeds, all kernels and toughened manure, with our dying tigers and tidal forest, on our motherland as the world tittered and pitied and went away. Never true to us farmers came with their guns and boots, buried us like wasted leaves, not planted one by one proud as we did the paddy stalks. When they come now to dig and lay their factory of steel, wake them all to see the sunrise. Now as the sun touched us fossils, we fly into eternity, starved spirits in search of heaven. World will again talk a while of farmers who perished in famine, when flying cars and silent friends, charismatic leaders who stood history, fed us fertilizers for colonies and wars. The hand that conquered culled us too, with wasted coins and cash crops that can't be drunk or fed. Every 50 years, or the century day, yes, talk of us again and titter, yet forget the million of us who fell, then go on to buy those green fields, build your huge gray tombs, bury your future within millions, entomb the fields and farmers, forget your porridge and peas and poem. Wow. That was a lot to digest, so to speak. Pam, I'll give you first crack at this.
All right. Well, I have to say, absolutely a stunning write, powerful imagery and metaphors. You know, I'm glad that they put in their AN, this was on the Bengal famine of 1943, which I looked up and was reading a bit about, which, oh my goodness, this poem stands on its own, and the idea of famine and greed and death and despair. But to have that mentioned in the AN so that you could learn from this poem, some people might know this, but I did not. The estimated total deaths of the 1 year that the Bengal famine went on was 0.8 to 3.8 million people dying of starvation in 1 year. That, I mean, wow. And I really like, I have to say, it really moves me that Blue Light 76 took this prompt, Garden of Bones, and took it to another time period, another location, and showed us a different Garden of Bones, that garden made of the rice paddy fields and the dying children, the dying families. I really liked this, but especially when it talks about the greed, when God's angry with greedy man, waters and winds left them alone, came the devils and danced on fields dry and arid, more as famine struck, and also as rice bags fell empty in number, skin hung loose and bones thin, fell upon fields like seeds, all kernels and toughened manure. We often forget, we live in a country of abundance, I mean, compared to of some other countries, and rice is such an important grain to so many countries that I thought that was just a wonderful attention to detail and very well done.
Yeah, it's, you know, like how you said, they took, because when I was reading the author's note, and they chose part one, the Garden of Bones, and like you said, they took and they made it their own. Like they took it and used facts and inputted it and used live tragedy, like, you know, things that actually happened, like events that actually happened, to kind of make the poem even deeper. And the fact that the song inspired them to go that route and to go and bring this to our attention and you know, spread awareness of it, I find that they did it. It was phenomenal, the way that they presented this. And I also like the powerful wording here, because, you know, they're basically saying to pay homage to the people all the farmers that die, even not just soldiers, not, you know, but the farmers as well. Like they have been through their share of tragedy and horror and things, trying to keep things and help the culture sustain and civilizations keep them afloat. And like you said, where we live in a place of abundance, to where we take things for granted and we don't look at the little man, or not little man, but what the governments and other people refer to as the little men, which are very vital people. So I thought they did a great job in exemplifying that. What were your thoughts, Laurent?
Well, I was very, very moved. And I like what Pam said about the Bengal famine. I think in the almost 100 years that Britain ruled India, there were like 12 famines, the Bengal famine being one of them. And it's known as a genocidal famine, engineered by the British, which makes it even worse. And, you know, famine will bring out the jungle animals who walk on two legs. And they are there to take what they can because they too want to survive. And they will take from the wheat. They will take from the farmers who bear their implements, not weapons. And the stanza, never true to us farmers, came with their guns and boots, buried us like wasted leaves, not planted one by one, proud as we did the paddy stalks. And you can see how the country was torn apart. And you think of the millions who lived but suffered, not just the millions who died. The impact is unbelievable. The poem is stirring, stark, and realistic.
Yeah, it's one of those sad facts about humanity, in quotes. I'll never understand it. This kind of brings to light a lot of lesser known tragedies, and it kind of makes me want to go back and look at some, not necessarily, you know, like to kind of bring them to light. I might even do a show about past tragedies and things like that. Who knows?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but I thank them for this wonderful write, and I'm glad that they were inspired to share that with us. What are we off to next, Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Constipated by Babbler, and it goes like this. The hole inside me is growing, quivering, and stretching like an anus in my throat. It breathes, waiting to swallow me. I sweat and tremble, and I envy the addict who has nothing to quit, habit to drop, substance to blame, instead of being a traumatized child coping with this damn hole that expands and contracts like the tracheotomy ER nurses puncture into the windpipes of smokers with throat cancer. Black hole ripped out of me, into me, through me. Before I can remember, have I ever been whole? Whole? Pull the edges together and clasp them there until it can't breathe and it quakes like 2 a.m. semi-conscious nightmares screaming without air, muscles spasming as it thrashes, shudders, stills, beneath enraged fingers that feel both hollow and brimming with anger and sorrow, letting go at the last minute to let it gasp. Killing something won't bring dead tissue back to life. I think of my childhood neighbor, piles of foils that littered his bathroom floor after he'd stopped bothering to hide them. Red lighter with the black bottom sitting on the windowsill, black snakes hissing at me. Tammy lost somewhere between 17 and 40, cross-legged in a gym mini dress, explaining to me why she wasn't in class, like I'm her mother and not also 17, picking her scabs, almost jealous that maybe they have an escape, even if it's temporary. 20-plus years of drowning beneath ragged, between bouts of internal diarrhea, too afraid to call it quits, to stop trying, afraid of not being afraid, Maybe that's it, the drain I keep circling. When have I not been scared shitless? What does that feel like? End poem.
I'd be curious to see which prompt she was inspired by. But, yeah, this is one of those pieces that's like puts out, if this is true and if she's speaking about her actual self, this is I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words today. Like, it's a very raw and honest depiction of self and introspective. There you go. Introspective, look inside. And I really like I like the way Pam reads it, because she reads it with like some kind of there's some attitude in there somehow. But even though it's not really an attitude-y type poem, but the way that you enunciate, Pam, sometimes it kind of adds to the poem. So, and Constipated is actually a great title for this, because there's just something there that you can't get out. Like, it's just there, whether it be something spoken or something lodged or stuck in your mind or heart or your throat. I like the mention to the like the tracheotomy ER nurses puncture into the windpipes of smokers with throat cancer, black hole ripped out of me, into me, through me, before I can remember. Have I ever been whole? And then she uses the other word, whole, to kind of reiterate that. So yeah, I thought this is a very technical piece, and also like I said, very introspective and brutally honest. Well, what about you, Laurent? What do you think of it? I think you're on mute.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This poem contains what might be the line, the after midnight line of the year, when she describes the hole inside of her like an anus in my throat. I thought that offered an image that would indeed make us sweat and tremble. And the lines, I envy the addict who has something to quit, habit to drop, substance to blame. He identifies perfectly the existence of something that is completely intangible, but is overwhelming the daily breath of us, so to speak. And like you said, when she talks about, have I ever been whole, what does that feel like? That gives you pause when you read that. 20 years of never been being relaxed, at ease, always unhappy, describing dead tissue as what is inside of us. And the words that she uses are so emotionally drenched, muscle spasming, as it crashes, shudders, stills beneath enraged fingers that feel both hollow and brimming with anger and sorrow. And there are times our hands want to squeeze something hard as we can, but they don't feel up to the task of hollow and brimming with anger and sorrow. I think that speaks to the unidentifiable hole, the anus and the throat. As usual, Babbler does not disappoint.
Yeah, you're right. Has to be one of the more creative approaches, I have to say. Pam, having read it, what are your thoughts?
As always, I am impressed with Babbler's writing. A powerful, hard-hitting, edgy imagery and metaphors. She did say in LNP that it was to prompt one, so that was good to know. I like how she brings it in, again, another one that brings it into modern times, and she relates it to herself personally. And the idea of, you know, and I think we've all had that thought, you know, with people who, you know, escape their troubles through drugs and drinking and, you know, how much nice it must be to be able to escape. But then realizing that we're not that person. We face life. You know, we don't escape it. And there's such a raw and ugly reality to this, especially at the lines, I think of my childhood neighbor, piles of foils that littered his bathroom floor after he'd stopped bothering to hide them. And then she brings us from childhood to 20-plus years of drowning, breath ragged between bouts of internal diarrhea, too afraid to call it quits, to stop trying. And just amazing all the way through, a really great look at a modern time and the idea of how oftentimes we hold our suffering in until it just all comes pouring out. And I have to agree that with Lauren, that line, like an anus in my throat, it breathes waiting to swallow me. It is just definitely the after midnight line of the year. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I'm glad Babbler was able to get something out of it and was able to, get a release of sorts to write for the show. So thanks for that, Babbler.
Friends are good.
Yeah. Where are we off to next, Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Day of Death. Day of Death by Arcana Amore. And we have a SoundCloud for that one. So let me find that. And here we go.
In the dark, onward. The cruel north wind moans and groans. My blood is chilled with frigid bones. Cold fingers crawling down my spine. Death draws near and looks to dine. The winter witch has cast her spell. With coats of frost my shivers tell. Winter whispers through the trees. Snowflakes glide upon the breeze. I try to walk through biting gales. Through the valleys, through the vales. I know that death's not far behind. Hides in places where I'm blind. El Ranador, Yador Theos. Pale ghosts haunt upon the air. Dancing blizzards through my hair. I feel their breath upon my brow, from empty graves they disavow. Their shadows melt inside the snow, whispering where the fierce winds blow, while Bogan watches deep in thought, telling me my time is growing short. Trees all standing bare, their knotted eyes no longer stare, with branches dimmed in bleakest white that glisten in the soft moonlight. Day of Odwind, day art. I see the tracks of Morrigan's crow, painted black upon the snow. Wolves cry out their distant calls that echo through the snow-clad walls. My breath is freezing on the breeze. I'm slowly sinking to my knees. I feel my spirit turn to ice. The time is nigh to pay my price. Death draws near with hungry eyes, riding the wind with howling cries. Is this to be my final day, when the north wind steals my soul?
Yeah, Arcana brings yet another doozy. I really enjoyed that. He did three poems in one, basically, I think, in telling the story. But yeah, that was another song that was in the background that I was thinking of using, but I just chose to stick with the two songs. That other song is great, by the way, if you guys want to look that up. But yeah, Arcana, like, even his, like he knew how to pronounce the words, like he must have done, either knows how to say them already or done some research, but he did a great job in this like triplet poem here. I really enjoyed pale ghosts haunt upon the air, dancing blizzards through my hair. I feel their breath upon my brow, from empty graves they disavow. Their shadows melt inside the snow, whispering where the fierce winds blow, while Woden watches deep in thought, telling me my time is growing short. I thought that this really kind of it made me feel like I was at kind of like a campfire of sorts in a snowy forest, and someone was telling me these tales of times past or myths that came before. And I really like that. I like being able to have a setting and put me there, just bring me into the poem. And he did that with each of these, and I felt like three wise men were just sitting there telling each of their stories. And I thought it was phenomenal. His presentation was great too. Obviously he always has great rhyme, but his word choices made it that much better. So wow. What about you, Laurent? What do you think?
Their shadows melt inside the snow, whispering where the fierce winds blow. While Woden watches deep in thought, telling me my time is short. This is just one superb stanza among many. This poem in its presented form stands as equal to the Brahms song, I think. Dark, rhythmical, with vivid imagery. By example, I see the tracks of Morrigan's crow painted black on the snow. You know, the words of this poem resolve into a shadow world of death and fear. As he says, as death grows near with hungry eyes, this is a dark textured rite that leaves a chill wind blowing down my... Really well done.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy too, because... the contrast with the darkness and the white of the snow kind of makes the contrast even darker. So, what about you, Pam? What were your thoughts?
Oh, this was brilliant and epic. I like that he fit the ancient language, the Norse language in there. As you said, Robert, he either had to have already known it or done his research, which I think is really cool. That was just an amazing sound cloud, great balance of the music and his reading voice, strong imagery and metaphors throughout. It does have that feeling of being around a campfire and being entertained by ancient stories. And I like how This isn't just about mankind's battle against each other, but the battle against nature, against the elements, and what a dark time winter could be. I really like the personification and the magic of winter brought in, but in that way that's just haunting and dark. The winter witch has cast her spell. With coats of frost, my shivers tell. Winter whispers through the trees. Snowflakes glide upon the breeze. I also really liked pale ghosts haunt upon the air. Dancing blizzards through my hair. I feel their breath upon my brow. From empty graves they disavow. There really truly was, even in modern times, but especially in ancient times, something about winter that spoke of spirits coming awake and spoke of the idea of haunting. So excellent write and very well done.
Indeed. It was an awesome write. And I'm glad that Arcana was inspired. I always get pretty pumped when him and Stelina end up writing, because they're two poets that are, when you hear one, you think of the other, and because they're good friends, you know. Yeah, but their work is also equally captivating. I think Stelina did a piece too, so I look forward to reading that. Thanks, Arcana, for writing for us. Where are we off to next, Pam?
All right. Am I off mute? Let me check. Yes, I am. All right. So up next, we have Prior Planning by Thomas B. And Laurent, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yep. Prior Planning. In the shadow of a moment with a sad women cry, flutters memories of sentiments declared to never be a lie. Fortune runs with the tides and spends too many nights in the wrong bars, taking home someone undeserving and then swallowing the dawn. Call me when you better. Call me when the ship hits shore. Call me if you remember that I was the one you swore could never forget. Life turns on a dime. As long as your hips can swivel, you're willing to accept survivor's guilt and keep tempo when the beat is gone. In the shadow of a moment, you are a twinkling in my eye. We think we can create miracles instead of being run over by time. End poem.
Wow, what a great read, Laurent. Pam, we'll start with you this time.
All right. Great read, Laurent. A wonderful dark write, emotive dark write by Thomas B. I noticed prompt one was the one people were most inspired by, and it was interesting to see how different people took it in different directions. Again, Thomas took the idea of the Garden of Bones and the pain and the sadness felt to a modern day level, to an individual level. And I appreciate that. I really like, call me when you're better, call me when the ship hits shore, call me if you remember that I was the one you swore you'd never forget. Life turns on a dime, as long as your hips can swivel, you're willing to accept survivor's guilt and keep tempo when the beat is gone. I like that speaks to me on two different kinds of loss. The loss of a relationship when someone moves on, and also the loss of death. And I like the mention of the survivor's guilt, because, you know, that just speaks so much on that, on the idea that as you're sitting there, you know, and you feel the sadness and you feel the guilt. And I can imagine throughout history, that has happened, whether it's modern days or ancient Norsemen, there was probably this sense of, you know, why was it my brother? Why was it my sister? Why was it this person I cared about and not me? I also really like, in the shadow of a moment, you were a twinkling in my eye. you know, we often don't think about how short our time here on earth is before we go on to another life, or wherever it is that we go afterwards. So a blink of an eye, really, compared to eternity. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, that's a great analysis, Pam. For me, because I like to look at things through different perspectives, and I was thinking that also that, you know, it seems like the parts of it kind of made me think of it as kind of you're meeting someone like in a bar or whatever, and then you take them home and, you know, do whatever you do. And I was thinking of the bones as being the skeletons in the closet, you know, like a garden of bones. People keep the secrets that people keep, and then, but then later on, it turns out life turns on the dime. As long as your hips can swivel, you're willing to accept survivor's guilt and keep the tempo when the beat is gone. So like how you were saying, Pam, that it goes into that survivor's guilt to where we tend to, like, it's the human part of us, the human aspect, that we sometimes we just want it to be us instead. And a lot of times I know I've dealt with it, I know many have. And this really is, it brings to light a lot of those humanistic aspects to make us feel that which makes us feel, you know, and that which drives us and causes us to grieve. And like you said, it's a more modern approach, but it still, it lends credence and power to the song itself. So I'm glad that Thomas got inspired. What did you think, Lauren?
I like the lines, in the shadow of a moment where the sad women cry. It's you know, some lines are, in some poems are poetic, others aren't. These are absolutely poetic. Shadow of a moment where the sad women cry. Because those moments occur so frequently in lives. And women, as a wonderful gender, have been so bedeviled, brutalized, and used by the male of the species over years. You know, when you take someone home, someone who's undeserving, you have to swallow the dawn. You know, I mean, fate's another day. Very powerful stuff. A person can be gone almost immediately. You know, you were a twinkling in my eye. Said we can create miracles instead of being run over by time. Can't beat time. People try all their lives, and it just doesn't happen. And you just have to have a stiff upper lip and keep the tempo. The beat is done. Really appreciated this piece.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to keep on marching on, but you got to do what you got to do. All right, Pam, where are we off to next?
All right, up next we have Brothers Unite by Stelina, and we also have a SoundCloud for this, so here we go.
From deep within the earth, hear our ancestors' cry, from the sleepers who in their barrows do lie. Have courage, warriors, defend our land, fight without mercy, as beside you we stand. The spirit of mighty Thunor swells in our hearts, intoxicating our blood before each battle starts. Instilling valor within our vengeful veins to spur us on despite our punishing pains. Brokturgund Yeloga Yegadurung Yevayotath Gebensathotel CA CA though battle weary, Till sees our plight, and the vigil he keeps during the bedamned night, to keep hope and valor within us alive, as we offer up prayers for strength to survive. Let the earth be irrigated with our enemies' blood, and the ground be hallowed where our warriors stood. Those who fall, within will their souls guide to the realm of Niorg's Nawang with immense pride. We fight for freedom to preserve our welfare and ways, burnished battle axes carving through crimson haze, wading through surreal scenes of inconceivable hell, leaving our fearsome foes to rot where they fell. Beth Othuden, thy ward wound o'er, Mayen Kuning, Awarion, Gahanan, Beinon, Beatu. For centuries to come will our glory resound, voices shouting our triumphs from beneath the ground. The spirits of our forefathers will roam abroad, brandishing in each hand axe, spear, or sword. We are at war only to protect our children and wives from those who seek to destroy our lives. So forward we go, at the break of dawn, we shall not return defeated, nay, nor forlorn. Proctorguld, ye loga, ye gardurung, ye vaiotath, gebensath oth tell, see, see.
Wow, what a wonderful collaboration there. Her words and his voice combined in that theatrical setting. That is, so I'm convinced that he knows the language. Because if he doesn't, he did a great job in enunciating that stuff. That's awesome. It really added a whole nother layer to it, and it also shows a deeper appreciation to be able to kind of display that love for the culture itself. I thought this was a great battle poem, and the part that I really was like, whoa, that's pretty badass, was let the earth be irrigated with our enemies' blood, and the ground be hollowed where our warriors stood. Those who fall, Woden will their souls guide to the realm of Nirwing with immense pride. I thought that irrigating the ground with the enemy's blood was just like, I mean, come on, that's old school badassery right there. And it's just her rhyme as well is impeccable, and his enunciations and his like the cadence was just excellent. Like he paced himself perfectly in reading it, and I'm sure that she was more than satisfied with this, because I mean, how could you not be? They work so well together, and we fight for freedom to preserve our welfare and ways. Burnished battle axes carving through crimson haze. That's another great stanza couplet there. Wading through surreal scenes of inconceivable hell, leaving our fearsome foes to rot where they fell. Oh, wow. I was pretty stoked to hear this piece, and I am very glad that Stelina got inspired to write it. Lauren, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening with an open mouth, just completely impressed. I mean, how can you not be? Although I was a little confused in the beginning, when I read SoundCloud reading by Spelina. And it didn't sound like Spelina, but I said, wow, she can really articulate her voice. It sounds like a man when she wants to. But the more I listened, of course, I realized that it was not her. Perhaps she felt that he was more appropriate for the part, but, you know, we're the beneficiary of her writing. Some stanzas stand out. They jump out at you. Most of these do. And there was one, yeah, she offers the reason for fighting. We fight for freedom, to preserve our welfare and ways, burnished by the Laxus carving through crimson haze, wading through serial scenes of inconceivable hell, leaving our fearsome foes to rot where they fell. It's a stanza that is stern and strong and delivered with conviction, and let them rot where they lay. I mean, it's just, you got to like that. And then the use of the language, the vernacular. I mean, it's just overall a wonderful piece.
Yeah, like I said, not disappointed in the least with these, right? I mean, I'm not disappointed at all, actually, with these rights, because they're phenomenal so far. And yeah, wow. What did you think, Pam?
This is just really an excellent, as you said, Robert, a battle poem. I, too, was a little confused at first. I spent the first, 20 or so seconds of the read looking at the words, making sure they matched up, making sure I hadn't pushed the wrong button. I like the narrative of this. I like how it brings us into the mindset of the warriors and all that they fight for and all that they believe in. The ancient language the Anglo-Saxon language was a great touch. I really like the spirit of mighty Thunor swells in our hearts, intoxicating our blood before each battle starts. And then we fight for freedom to preserve our welfare and ways, burnished battle axes carving through crimson haze, wading through surreal scenes of inconceivable hell, leaving our fearsome foes to rot where they fell. Just a wonderful use of alliteration and strong imagery, and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. I was looking forward to it, and I got it. So thank you for that, Stelina. Where are we off to next, Ms. Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Silent Garden by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Haunted sacred rose strolling through silent gardens dressed in cheery red. Wandering gypsy singing melodically, sweetly enchanting. Twisted thorns round wrists, vines slowly traveling, pressing her curves, piercing her nude flesh, shimmering in crimson tears, wishing well cascades, screaming her descent deep into unknown portals, Hades' underworld, bites pomegranate, tastes savoring rose petals, silky smooth, so soft, wet falling raindrops, trickling down her bubbly cheeks, blushing by her thoughts, seduced by peaches and labyrinths, wild rose maze, giving in to sins, Catholic statues, Mother Mary carved marble, drenched by waterfalls, shines and rainbows, gray garden, technicolor kaleidoscope minds, holy yet filthy, half angel and half devil, abandons both worlds. End poem.
Damn. Well, there's Betty. Yeah, she has a way with her words. I like that ending, especially holy yet filthy, half angel and half devil, abandons both worlds. Like in our author's note, she put the it was to prompt one, and it says, "Hall of Souls, who fell asleep, awake in the Garden of Light." And then vulnerable sex in the garden led to Hades, awakened by angels caught in between both. So it's really, what I like about her writing, she really has great imagery. And I don't know how she taps into that. Some people have their own methods, but I wish I could figure it out so that I could kind of open myself up more, because I'm envious of her use of color in atmosphere in her poetry, like Seduced by Peaches in Labyrinth's Wild Rose Maze, Giving Into Sins, and Catholic Statues, Mother Mary Carved Marble Drenched by Waterfalls. So, you know, like, you can picture everything that she's saying. And I also like the kind of forbidden nature of the poem. And if you look at the picture, it almost looks like a gateway of sorts when you look at the picture itself and you see the tree and things like that. So I think she did a really great job in making it her own and taking it a different direction. And the protagonist in the poem kind of reminds me of Poison Ivy, sort of. And I really am a fan of Poison Ivy for many reasons. I'm glad that she brought this piece with the twisted thorns around the wrist and vines slowly traveling, caressing her curves. Yeah, this is completely different than the other rites, yet no less awesome. So, wow. What about you, Pam? What'd you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. I think part of why Betty does so well in imagery, to be honest, is two things. Practice, and because she does write a lot. And then the fact that she uses the Senru haiku style, the 575, which is a form that's very dependent upon imagery. It's oftentimes the main focus of that form. But yeah, amazing dark right all the way through. I like how this goes into a spiritual darkness and the idea of someone torn between the two worlds, between the demons and the angels, and then, as it says in the end, abandons both worlds. I really like how it goes into different religions and different mythologies, like the biting of the pomegranate in Hades underworld. That was, if I remember, was it Persephone who ate a little bit of the pomegranate and then was supposed to stay in Hades?
I believe so.
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember for sure, but I do remember in Greek mythology that there was a person who weren't supposed to eat anything when you went into Hades, and if you did, you had to stay there, and it was like a pomegranate or a little bit of a pomegranate they ate. So, and then to go from that to the Catholic statues, Mother Mary carved marble drenched by waterfalls. As always, she's got a sense of dark sensuality within it, but with piercing her nude flesh, shimmering in crimson tears, wishing well cascades, screaming her descent deep into unknown portals. Just amazing imagery all the way through and very well done.
Indeed. Laura, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I was fascinated by the dichotomy between the light and the dark, the angel and the devil, so to speak. There's an innocence in some people that is so sweet. Then there's a dark side that rests alongside of the innocence. And it is fascinating to examine a person, to know a person, et cetera, that has those two sides always competing for attention, so to speak. And I think that kind of feeling is voiced throughout this piece. We're presented with twisted thorns round wrists, vines slowly traveling, caressing her curves, piercing her nude flesh, shimmering in crimson tears, wishing well cascade. I think it's a wonderful metaphor. And then those lines holy and filthy, half angel and half devil, abandoned in both worlds, not comfortable in either world. Where does she reside? In what vague universe can you exist if you abandon both the angel and the devil, unless you mean to die yourself? It is a great piece.
Yeah, stuck within limbo. There's another term for it. It actually goes with the mythology, but it's not Tartarus. I can't remember. Anyways, but yeah, you're stuck somewhere in limbo. Thanks for that, Betty. That was a very thought-provoking piece and very unique and different and still very awesome. Where are we off to next, Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Garden of Bones by Northern Powerhouse. And we also have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Garden of Bones. Some winsome nights, some whispered nights, some nights of sulfur moans, I still can feel your breathing from my garden full of bones. The doors flung wide, their sudden crash, the curtains billow in, and I can hear your rasping in chills against my skin. One moonless night your hands will stretch and silence all my groans, and I will know you've risen from my garden full of bones. And I wait for it, the stir of soil, the disobedient earth. I'll sense the cloying stifle of your withering rebirth. Your bedfellows beneath the earth were fragment shards of clay. They whispered you their history of breakage and decay. And you ascend to rattle in avenging angel tones. Blunder, rage and malice from my garden full of bones. Again my home, my foxhole, will be scattered just like yours with shattered earthy debris and settling of scores. I'll blind my eyes and keep you out until that moment when I know the time has come for me to kill you once again. And as I tread on broken glass, I ponder the unknowns. Which of us is really trapped beneath the garden's bones?
Wow, I think this is like the third or fourth recital I've heard from Northern Powerhouse, and he has a great like reading voice. Like his cadence is phenomenal. In this one, it seems as though like he's fighting this perpetual battle with something, and he doesn't know which one of them is the bad guy. It seems. At least that's what I got out of it. Because the ending, as I tread on broken glass, I ponder the unknowns, which of us is really trapped beneath the garden's bones. So like he doesn't know who the enemy is. And it could be himself, which is plot twist, pretty awesome. But the rhyme, perfect. The flow is great. And he illustrated that, with his SoundCloud. But also the word choices, some winsome nights, some whispered nights, some nights of sulfur moans. I still can feel your breathing from my garden full of bones. The doors flung wide, their sudden crash, the curtains billow in, and I can hear your rasping in chills against my skin. Now that, could have the tendency to give you some goosebumps if you really think about it. Like you really think about the breath on your skin. It's one of those very weird feelings. And I really appreciate his ability to kind of, like I said, I like the, when people can bring me there, bring me into the poem. And he did that very well. And he also told a phenomenal story and weaved it into his words like so seamlessly. I thought it was great. What do you think, Pam?
Oh, well, you know, I have to agree with you that he does have an amazing reading voice, and I'm so glad that he's been making SoundClouds for our shows. Great rhyme and flow to this. You know, I always enjoy a good story told in rhyme. You know, I really like that it does focus on that whole idea of who's dead and who's alive, who's the bad guy, who's the good guy, that unknowing that comes through. I thought it was a wonderful take on the prompt. I especially like, I wait for it, the stir of soil, the disobedient earth. I'll sense the cloying stifle of your withering rebirth. Your bedfellows beneath the earth were fragments, shards of clay. They whispered you their history of breakage and decay. And I like that because it speaks on the whole idea of how, you know, the dead speak to us of their history, of their peril, of everything that they've been through. And just an excellent write and very well done.
Indeed. Like these they want to make it hard to judge, man. I'm saying everyone's ramping up. They're awesome, I have to say. But Laurent had to go, so he can't comment. He ended up going to bed. The whispers on the skin that sent him to go lay down. But, yeah, that was a phenomenal poem. Thanks for that, Northern Powerhouse. I always appreciate when you can write from my posts, write from my show. Sorry. So where are we off to next, Miss Pam?
All right. Up next, we have My Guilty Breath by Julie Buck. And go ahead, Robert, and give that a read for us, please.
All right. My Guilty Breath. Darkness sees me cold and wet, shamelessly weary, and yet hear me wail and wail some more. Knowing it, and I've been kicked by vengeful soldiers to the rancid door of hell. See, war scars on me. War scars scare me. Hundreds die and die and die. Do you chant into oblivion, forced to inhale the fear and hear the thud of surrender as it falls to the ground? What cleans blood to judge your brother is immoral, parricide, murder is a trap. It caught me. I fought. I smell the hatred, the putrid, the wasted, the wounded forever. It squeezes and chokes to death. Black like sweaty pain paints a sinful stain, and no way ever to catch my guilty breath. And boom. Wow. Hey, she wrote to a prompt 2. Oh, there's hardly any of it for prompt 2 so far, so I was pretty glad about that. This is a very interesting style. Because from what I've seen of Julie, it's very different. Like her work is, her wording and her work is powerful, but the way that she repeats, like throughout, like, you know, war scars scare me, and die. The repetition kind of adds like a haunting feature to it. It kind of solidifies like in your brain what she's trying to convey, in that moment. And she really wants you to feel what she's trying to say, or to imagine what she's trying to portray. And I really liked the beginning. Darkness sees me cold and wet, shamelessly weary, and yet hear me wail and wail some more. You know, like the cold, wet darkness, like it kind of gave me goosebumps thinking about it, you know, because I've been caught out in the rain before in the pitch of night, and it kind of took me back to that place, to where I was, there and cold and weary and wet and in pitch darkness, you know. And so, again, I really can appreciate when a poet can do that, can take you to their moment, take you to their mind. And do you chant into oblivion, forced to inhale the fear and hear the thud of surrender as it falls to the ground. That's like, it's like a very dark and yet very cool way, like to say that, do you chant into oblivion? I really, really enjoyed that a lot. And I'm glad that Julie got inspired, you know, prompt two even. That's pretty awesome. What about you, Pam? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I have to agree with you. I'm glad you got inspired by prompt two. I mean, I think all people who wrote the prompt one did a wonderful job, but yeah, it was cool to see something different. I liked the chanting or the repetitiveness for two reasons. First of all, it was a great thought on, you know, it felt like chanting and it felt like it really fit the song. And I also like it because it actually, it works really well because the ancient, there's different types of ancient Norse poetry, and the one of the things that was very common in ancient Norse poetry, and I was actually doing research on this morning to do my write, is that repetition was often used. In fact, I'm not going to read my poem tonight because we have other ones to get through, but if you get a chance, Robert, check it out, because I took and I took the ancient poetry, which I forget the name of, but it was a style where you did five syllables per line and used repetition. And though Julie doesn't have five syllables per line exactly, she does go with the short line, and she does go with the repetition. Now, I don't know if she knew that or not. My guess would be that she did, and she did her research, but if she didn't, it was definitely a happy accident. I love this first-person narrative, an amazing dark write. I really like the part you pointed out, plus I smell the hatred, the putrid, the wasted, the wounded forever. It squeezes and chokes to death, black like sweaty pain, paints a sinful stain. Those lines really speak on the effects that war has not only on soldiers, but on the community, on the common man and women of, you know, who have to live in war areas. So excellent dark write and very well done.
Yeah, it seems to be an ode to the PTSD suffered by the masses, and not just the soldiers and warriors, but like you said, the common folk. So, yeah. Thanks, Julie, for that. Where are we off to next, Miss Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Ufta by Eric Svensson, and it goes like this. Nay, not shield nor sword could slay the dark lord. A murder of crows amassed, a conspiracy of ravens cursed and cussed. Merciless murmuration of starlings, a wake of buzzards still abides. Nay, not shield nor sword could slay the dark lord of crows. He brought hordes from the north, who hovers from the south, 13 mobs from the equator, 6 million musters from the east, a preposterous parliament from the west. Nay, not shield nor sword could slay the dark lord like King Canute the Great. Tied with swords and shields, opposed the dark lord, abysmal scourge of darkness opposed, voiceless screams upon sharpened stakes, hearts axed out to feed his boars. Nay, not shield nor sword could slay the dark lord. Now garbled ghosts grab bleached collarbones, serrated Samsons deliriously lash out, try and slay the Philistines. Unlike King Canute the Great, we feast upon festering red tides where buzzards, crows, ravens, and starlings cannot harung. Ufta, battle cries, anthem, our warriors accord. I, shield and sword, couldn't slay the dark lord. Courageous hearts become boar food. Ufta, Now compassionate hearts alone will slay the dark lord. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor falls, the major lifts, ufta, and poem.
Oh, he was also inspired by prompt two. Yeah, this is now that you mentioned the repetition, I think Eric seems to be an educated sort, so he probably knew that too. That's where it says, "Nay, not the shield nor sword could slay the dark lord." It makes its appearance in each stanza almost, except for the end, which he threw a nice little twist on there. I, shield and sword couldn't slay the dark lord. Courageous hearts became boar food, you know. And I really liked the first stanza was really captivating for me. I think it's because of the ravens and the murmurations of starlings. So it says, nay, not shield nor sword could slay the dark lord, a murder of crows amassed, a conspiracy of ravens cursed and cussed, merciless murmurations of starlings, a wake of buzzards still abides. The picture he provided, along with the poem itself, and then the repetition really gave it like how we mentioned earlier, like an elder telling a story type of thing, but like almost in a chant type of way, you know, like an enchanting type of way. Like also how you mentioned it from the previous poem, it was like a chant, you know. So this is a really cool write by Eric, and I think it's probably one of my favorite ones because he threw in some historical figures in there. And then to mention, you know, of course, the ravens and the Dark Lord. I'm wondering who the Dark Lord was in this poem, if there's a historical aspect to it. Maybe you would know. But of crows, he brought hordes from the north, hovers from the south, 13 mobs from the equator. I'm sure there's some genius in there somewhere that I'm unaware of. But yeah, thanks for that, Eric. I'm glad that you got inspired. What about you, Pam? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't know who the Dark Lord is off the top of my head, but I'm guessing it would only take a little bit of research because it mentions a couple times King Canute the Great. So my guess would be is if you researched or Googled who King Canute the Great fought against, that might be the Dark Lord. Not promising anything, but it would make sense to me. But this was just brilliant. The use of repetition worked really well for an ancient Norse battle poem of epic dimensions. I love also the mention of historical figures like King Canute the Great, Samson. I really liked those lines. I like the repetition of nay, not shield nor sword, but serrated Samson's deliriously lash out, try and slay the Philistines. Unlike King Canute the Great, we feast upon festering red tides where buzzards, crows, ravens, and starlings cannot harangue. I love how he brings in the different animals, the different ideas of a warrior's death being announced. Now, I will admit the one part that was hard for me was ufta, because here in Wisconsin and nearby Minnesota, we have a lot of people of Swedish descent. And ufta is basically said like a sigh. Like when you say ufta around here, which I sometimes do, because, you know, it's just a familiar thing to say around here. You say it in such a way that you're sighing. Like, it's like basically like, you know, like I'm just so tired of it all. But he has it in such a way with the exclamation points and the capitalization that it's almost like it's supposed to, as he says, oofta, battle cries, anthems, our warriors accord. So I'm guessing there must have been before all of us Wisconsinites and Minnesotians changed it into a sigh of despair because of our long winters. It must have been a battle cry.
Yeah, either that or it's meant to be ironic of sorts, like, because he tends to do that with his poetry sometimes, like, to make you think and stuff like that. So maybe it could be a battle cry, or it could just be irony. It's pretty funny.
You know what? You make a really good point there. I didn't even think of that, because you're right. That very much is Eric. He often does use irony. So it'll be interesting to see if he says anything about that. So, oh, Babbler says, same here. My family is Norwegian from Michigan, not Mexico, sorry, Michigan. And we say oopta as well. Okay, glad I'm not the only one. Oh, that's too funny. All right. Go ahead and try to get in one more poem at least, and then I can always carry the rest over to, say, like a break on through show or something like that.
Okay.
Although we might get a couple more in, but we'll see how things go. All right. So up next we have Shadow of Bones by Xylophonic Blues. And go ahead, Robert, please, and give that a read for us.
All right. In all my dreams before my helpless sight, raven's cloaked shawl under black roses, wilted sky. Blow, careless eye, with soul's unpurged, steadfast breath, marched in holiest fellowship. A gust of wind, like old beggars under sacks, dream to deck the grave, knock-kneed, coughing like hags. We curse through sludge, till on haunted flares sup the sacrament of death. Watercolors, handwriting scars, outrushing barbarian forms, hunger, disease, and pain turns into droplets, whilst famine's moon slides. Dimensions immeasurable air, solemn the drum thrills. Death sings sorrow up into immortal spheres, royal. Hollow oscillations peeling the orange sun. There is music in the midst, desolation, hanging clouds vulnerable. Amongst dawns, indigo blue, a glory shines upon our tears, grained gargoyle eyes, ghost notes in a spiritual litany, ivory halo spilling glasses, mirrored mirage. At the moment, band of brothers far off, apart, limits of the page unravel, expressions into elliptical, lean sideways, so daylight inverts on balance, waveless kinship stretching into a seamless hand, shades, shaded ribbon, evolves, devoid, drifts monochromatic, in between, followers sheathe their swords, wars, shadow weaver, spinning together, fell against odds, uncounted, sculptured crevice, beyond brute, torment seen, sacrifice, faced to the foe, fear, oxygen stained braille and vice, swirled stillness stomps underwater, shadows aspirate, straight of limb, song to the battle, true of eye, serenette, between shaking free from tangled uncertainty, steady or staunch sequential imprint. Everything in reach moves further back to the end. He plunges at me. Bound corsets turn your head in delirium, guttering, choking, drowning, pendulum silhouettes ticking, lightning wrecked his ghostly gaze. Syllable imitate the action of the tiger. Folded veil stiffened the sinews, summoned up the blood. Dawn comes, threading illusion disguise. Relic, deathless dreaming. Light particles scurry, molding visions through a braille-sculpted realm. Climb the wall, catching modest stillness and humility. Shadow of bones. Walk over the glass and hang on. End poem. So since we don't have much time, Pam, I'm going to let you comment.
All right. Well, I have to say that, you know how you sometimes mention about stirring the mashed potatoes in your brain? That's how I oftentimes feel about xylophonic blues poetry. I mean, I love it because I love poetry that makes me think, and surrealism and creative use of imagery, but it definitely makes me think. I like the imagery in this, the metaphor, as always, the sense of movement that he puts into his stanzas. You know, I really like how this speaks on death and life. There's especially a power in the end lines with the "and hang, shadow of bones walk over the glass and hang on the idea that we have to keep the idea of fighting to survive. I also like "he plunges at me, bound corsets turn your head in delirium, guttering, choking, drowning, pendulum silhouettes ticking, lighting striking, wrecked his ghostly gaze." I feel like the pendulum ticking speaks on the idea of how time, you know, waits for no man, as the quote says, or, you know, the idea of "for who the bells toll." I also like waveless kinship stretching into a seamless hand. And there's mentioned also the grained gargoyle eyes. You know, gargoyles oftentimes being used as guardians. So there's definitely lines in here that speak on spirituality and guardianship. And marched steadfast breath, marched in holiest fellowship. It's the idea of a band of brothers being there for each other, guarding each other through this land of war, and facing the odds together. You know, at least that's what I get from it. Wonderful, thought-provoking, right, and very well done.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation is awesome. The word choices are great. I like the structure of the poem itself, and I really appreciate the beginning. "In all my dreams before my helpless sight, raven's cloak shawl under black roses wilted sky." I thought that was beautiful. And then dimensions, immeasurable air, solemn the drums thrill, death sings sorrow up into immortal spheres royal, hollow oscillations peeling the orange sun. I thought "peeling the orange sun" was very cool and creative, and I thank them for being inspired xylophonic blues to write for the contest, but we have to say our goodbyes for the moment. So Pam will be posting our next topic. I'm not sure what it will be. I have to figure it out. Maybe some more art. I think we'll probably delve into that for our next topic. And yeah, I appreciate everybody that wrote and people that hung out with us, Babbler and Laurent and Casey Day, you know, all you folks, whoever was around. I appreciate you all, and I appreciate everybody that wrote. And your work will be seen on another show. But until we see each other again, remember that you're always welcome in the solace of shadows. Good night, everybody.